The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
If you'd like to skip the intro, please refer to the timestamp listed in the episode description. Thank you.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is March 20th, 2024 right now. We're recording on a Wednesday at my time. Normally we do a Thursday because Olivia has a fun trip this weekend, which she deserves after all of her car dramas.
I'm going away with my book club for our annual weekend away. It's pretty exciting. We usually go like Friday to Sunday, but we're doing one extra day because why not this year? So we'll be playing tennis, going to some breweries, having some fun. Yeah, it should be good. I'm excited, actually. Very excited. I just, like, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I just got so much on. I really shouldn't be going away. But now I'm like, I just cannot wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Yeah.
It's nice having something to look forward to, at least, also.
Yes. After this is just marking, hopefully, the end of the car garbage. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about the little update for here? Yeah. Just that you're still.
So last week I said that they had agreed to the refund, which we still haven't gotten. I am fine with that. I know there's a process, but the only other update this week was that our old mate Walter from the dealership emailed saying that they are getting the car valued to determine the refund. And I'm like, absolutely, you are not. Like, that's illegal. Like, this is not me just being unreasonable. It's illegal. They have to pay us the amount. Basically, any money we have outlaid on the car, they have to repay it because they have supplied a faulty product. So I emailed back saying this is what we are requesting, which is basically the interest on the car that we've paid, any money outlaid on the car. And he's like, oh, well, how did you get to that figure? And I'm like, is this a maths lesson? Like, here's the deposit that we paid, the trade-in for our car, this is what we've paid, that equals this amount. And he's like, oh, yes, okay. So we are apparently signing Friday or Monday, fingers crossed. I don't know how long it will take for the money to go back in after that, but it sounds like without any more delays, the end is in sight. He'd ask us again for the registration papers, which are papers that they gave us when we bought the car. So anyway, we got them again. So fingers crossed, this is it. Next week, the update will be all signed, all done, never to be spoken about again.
Hopefully.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to see what they're going to pull. Like, anyway, hopefully, fingers crossed. That's all he's trying to do. He's just playing the games and trying to hope that I'll accept less money, which I get, you know, it's a business. But then also.
But at this point, like, it's done. Like, just fucking stop being a tool. Yeah.
And I feel like he should know by now that I'm not going to take his bullshit.
Yeah.
When I spoke to the Department of Fair Trading, so that's like a government organization who kind of mediate between consumers and companies. And when I spoke to him last week, because I'd sent him all the stuff that I've sent, the car dealership, all the correspondence, he's like, I'd just like to commend you on your correspondence. It was very well done.
Which is
all thanks to my friend who's the lawyer as well. She really helped me out. But I was like, don't even try it, Walter.
Yeah. Don't even go there.
Yes. How about you? What's going on with you?
Nothing much, honestly. Just the same old, I was saying to you, with the house and moving, and I guess I'm not really moving anymore. I'm still, like, I say moving because I still feel like I'm moving in because the kitchen has to be renovated. We're still doing, like, work on certain things even though we're living here. So a lot of stuff still hasn't been unpacked. A lot of stuff's still in boxes. Like, I'm still living out of boxes, basically. So that's why I'm always like, oh, with moving. Because to me, I still feel like I'm moving.
Yeah.
Even though I'm moved, I'm in the house. But some days I'm like feeling good, feeling like we're making good progress, like things are moving along. And then other days I'm like, I'm so sick of this. I just miss being able to like relax and have everything where I know where it is and have everything situated and settled. And I just miss, you know, like having your things where you want them, knowing where everything is, and just feeling like it's your spot. I don't feel that way yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Today I was trying to make pasta and I couldn't find, because I don't have a kitchen still, so I have a microwave pasta thing. Couldn't find it anywhere. And then it's just like, there's no counter space because, again, I don't have a kitchen. So we have this little temporary desk situation set up, but it's like there's no space. Everything's annoying and it just gets frustrating after a while. But I just remind myself it's temporary. It's going to be good. In a couple months from now, I'm going to be like, wow, I did it. We're through it. Like I'm happy.
It's so weird when you get to that point because you're like, what do I do now? And you've got all this stuff that's usually hanging over you. And then all of a sudden it's done. And you're like, oh.
I feel like for a while there's going to be small stuff to do, especially when the weather gets nicer because they have a pretty decent yard here and there's like a deck that needs work. So I'm fine with doing smaller projects as long as like I'm comfortable overall inside. Like, all my clothes are still not put away. Still don't have dressers because I think I mentioned here that we broke our dresser by accident in the move. And the closets, we want to paint all the closets before we put everything in them because there was like clothes in them for a while since no one was living here, so they smell kind of musty. So we're going to paint them to see if that helps. So I've put away none of my clothes. I've just been washing them and I have this temporary shelf set up that we've been putting them on, but it's just like living in chaos for weeks. And then cats are still doing good. There's two stray cats that live outside that pass by a lot. I don't think they've seen them yet. Not that I've noticed anyways. I've been waiting. I thought Freshbutt maybe so. I got them this little window perch so they could sit in the window and Freshbutt was sitting in it. And he started growling kind of. And I was like, oh my God, it must be the cat. And I look and it's an Amazon delivery driver. I'm like, you're growling at them? Who are you? Because, I mean, when I lived in my apartment, they would definitely see people because I lived on a main street where people were walking all the time. But we were also up a floor. So maybe they didn't seem as scary, but thought that was silly of him. So today we are going to talk about a cult, I guess you could call it a cult. I've noticed a lot of, because I watched the documentary today about this group, and they refer to cults a lot now. I've noticed as high control groups, which I think is interesting. And I wonder if it's because the word cult is almost stigmatized in a way of being like, woo, it's a crazy cult, because people, if you're like telling someone who's in one of these groups, like you're in a cult, they're like, I'm not in a cult. Like, this isn't Jonestown. This isn't like Charles Manson. Like, I'm not in a cult. So I was wondering if that was why they started using the words like high control group or high demand group, which is interesting. But we're going to be talking about Twin Flames Universe. I, a lot of times, for some reason in my head, say Twin Flames University. So if I say that, it's just an accident. Please don't yell at me. I'm admitting that I do it by accident. I do think Twin Flames University would be funnier. But it should be that because they also talk about classes and Ascension School.
Yeah, I feel like it absolutely could be a university.
Instead of a universe. You could say this about any cult, but it's so crazy. I heard about it because there's a couple different documentaries out about it. I just watched the Netflix one today that's called Escaping Twin Flames. It's 3 episodes. It was really good. If you are interested in this stuff, I'd recommend watching it. I feel like it gave some good insight into kind of how people get sucked into these situations and then also what happens and what they go through after they leave a cult situation when they finally get out. And a lot of what their families go through with trying to stay in touch with them and trying to get them out of the cult while at the same time the cult is trying to isolate them away from their family. So I definitely would recommend it. There's also an Amazon Prime one, I think, but I haven't watched that one yet.
He took my child. He twisted her memories, her mind.
Haven't seen her in over 3 years.
Most of this great wealth comes directly from teaching others how to have beautiful, healthy, loving, romantic relationships.
I thought that everything in my life was going good, but I was just missing my true love.
You too can have harmonious union.
I found people that I can relate to and I can trust.
We had 38,000 people in the group.
This is the story of falling in love.
They were saying things like, are you ready for the ultimate love of your life?
What Jeff and Shalia do has nothing to do with love. It's control.
You're getting some prime ass teeth.
None of it matters because you're his twin flame and this is your union.
Jeff taught us to pursue our twin flames at all costs.
When I spoke up about how I was feeling, I got shunned by Jeff and Shalia.
Liar!
Andrew's lying.
Liar.
You're either feminine at your core or masculine at your core.
I questioned Jeff, and his reply was, how dare you question your God?
I guess, like,
stop talking, please.
Fine.
Let the man speak. The image of Christ was actually me, the second coming, not Jesus, the first coming.
It's insane what I ask of you, for you to have my divine light, and yet you get it, do you not?
How much power have I given to these people?
Dissolve the illusion and recognize that you're actually a man.
I felt like I didn't recognize myself.
We were forced to change so much about ourselves.
I just started crying because I felt like that was going to be our last conversation.
He already took my daughter. If anybody should be scared, it should be him.
I will never stop fighting for my sister to come home.
Man, the tea is now being spilled.
A little bit about this. Twin flames is a term. It's a newer thing that I feel like is coming around. I first heard from it when Megan Fox said that her and Machine Gun Kelly were twin flames. So that explains
the exact type of people who'd be into it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like enough said. But basically, it's like your soulmate in a way. So we'll talk about the founders. One of them is Jeff Ian, and he grew up in a Catholic family in Lapeer, Michigan. A friend of Jeff's, Eric Rogers, recently told Vice that he was obsessed with learning everything possible about Warren Buffett as he grew up. The friend said he was always about learning and self-betterment, seeking out role models and coaches and all that. Jeff wanted to soak up everything he could from Buffett. Warren Buffett was the smartest investment mind in the world. Seems like Jeff, anyways, he has always been looking to be some sort of entrepreneur, some sort of scammer, finding different ways to make money. Seems like he always was interested in that.
It's so weird to me that his friend from childhood would bring up that point. Like, it must have been a massive obsession for him to still remember that and have noted it. Like, I feel like, you know, that's just a random thing to pick out as your friend, if that makes sense.
I think it's because it was like his whole personality. In the documentaries, they were showing some older clips of him or older websites left over from past endeavors of his. And I really think just trying to be some entrepreneur, because I think he's just like a raging narcissist, was his whole personality. Like such an annoying sales guy personality.
Sounds that way.
Yeah. So Jeff was on the swim team and he participated in theater club while he was at high school. He graduated from Western Michigan University Business School in 2010, and he then sold all his belongings and moved to a farm in California. In 2012, he moved to Hawaii and changed his name on social media to Ender Ionithos, and it's a reference to Ender's Game. He also started a blog called Ender's Adventures. So Ender's Game was his favorite book in high school, which, if you don't know what it's about, it's a 1985 sci-fi novel, follows the life of a young boy who is recruited into an elite military school where his tactical genius and ability to lead an army from behind a computer screen is slowly revealed. There's also still a LinkedIn account under the Ender name that says, "My mission is to inspire you to live a conscious, heart-centered lifestyle now. I do it by sharing my life's unfolding adventure tales with you in a fun to read and informative story style with lovable characters. To keep it interesting, I do crazy stuff, go on adventures, share the world's secrets, do lifestyle design experiments, and consciously explore life, all while keeping you in the know with my blog." So the blog's been taken down, but you can still find it on the Wayback Machine. This is an excerpt from one of them. It says, "Aloha and welcome to the adventure. Feel free to look around and make yourself at home. This website is based on a simple intention to inspire you to live a conscious, heart-centered lifestyle. Now, I'm not a crusty old guru claiming to have the latest cure, just a conscious 24-year-old guy having a great time with my life in Hawaii, passionate about doing what feels right in my heart. My mission is to show you how you can do it too. Through sharing my unfolding story with you, my dream is that you too will be able to shift to living a conscious, heart-centered lifestyle." He seems to like to say that. In order to keep my story interesting for you, I'm going to be doing some pretty crazy stuff like lifestyle design experiments, trying out a raw food diet or a polyphasic sleep, going on adventures around Hawaii, sharing with you how I consciously deal with everyday life.
It's funny because he's like pretty crazy stuff that doesn't really sound that crazy.
Yeah. And then again, he's talking about heart-centered lifestyle. And he ends it with, "So grateful to be sharing this unfolding message with you. I want you to know I love you and that your life is going to turn out to be wonderful for you and everyone around you. Incredible abundance is your birthright. No matter what you've been told before or think you see right now, incredible well-being and love are winning in our world. Stick around. We're going to have a great time together." So you also had a section on the blog for donations. It said, "If you feel like my work has made a difference and you'd like to help support my mission to spread ideas like following your heart and living consciously, please make a donation below. Really grateful for your support. Being supported by my readers enables me to keep living my example of a conscious heart-centered lifestyle and continue sharing the unfolding adventure with you." And then it says you could donate through PayPal. The average donation for sites like mine is $21.
I thought that was so wild. $21. Like, people might throw in a couple of bucks, but he's actually suggesting that everyone gives him $21.
Like, Wikipedia, which is a much more helpful website, is begging me for $2. So relax, Jeff.
And I'm like, for sites like mine, how did he even find out this information? I'm guessing he just thought, okay, I might have 500 visitors a month. Therefore, if everyone gave me $21, I'd have this amount of money.
Yeah, like, our Patreon, which is much more effort than this,
is $1 a week.
Yeah, is much cheaper. Yeah, so that is ridiculous. And even reading through all that, I'm still like, wait, so what's he doing?
Yeah, what is
just
are you
a
actually
lot of nothing.
Yeah, I do find it interesting though, the wording he used, like he's like, "I love you and come along with me." He's already playing positive on the vulnerable people who are lonely and looking for someone to care for them or to somewhere to belong. You can tell he's already doing that in that verbiage.
Yeah. So while he was living in Hawaii, he built a shack in Hilo and he rented it out as an Airbnb. In 2012, he met Megan Plante online. So they end up getting married and they start Twin Flames Universe together. So I guess she was the other founder. So Megan was born and raised in Canada in a Catholic family. She worked as a photography student, a Reiki practitioner, and psychic before she met Jeff. She also worked at a Thai restaurant. She was living in Sedona, Arizona at the time they met online.
I just think that's so funny. Thai restaurant, Reiki, photography. She's really into a lot of things.
She seems like the more spiritual,
yeah,
like hippie.
Genuinely spiritual one, yeah.
Where he is more like a con artist.
Mm-hmm.
So according to their self-published origin story, Jeff commented on one of her photos that she was weirdly sexy.
I feel like that's such a underhanded way. Like, you're not that attractive, but you're still weirdly sexy. Like, it's very weird.
It's hard to explain. That's why I'm like, everyone needs to go watch the documentary. He's just very quirky, but like trying to be quirky, yeah, type of person. He's just like the ultimate tool to me, where I understand how cults work and how people get sucked into them, but immediately when I see this guy and hear him speak, I'm angry. I'm mad. He is annoying. And it's convinced me that anyone can say anything with confidence and people will believe you.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. If you just say it confidently, people will be like, oh, okay.
Must be true.
Yeah, some people will.
So it's a fifth chakra, Archangel Michael. No, sorry. First chakra. I'm reading it backwards on the camera. Look at those abs, though. Holy shit. This bro is jacked. It's about, your first chakra is your root chakra, your base chakra. And it's about staying grounded. It's about, taking, and this card is talking to us about bringing the spiritual into the material. And this is what I teach. You know, like, this is why I like show off my nice shit. Because it's a, it's showing you that I have manifested what is spiritual into the physical. And that is what I teach. Like, a lot of spirituality teaches you to leave, because this is not a nice place. But the spirituality that God has given to me to share with you and with the world is about staying here and enjoying Earth. Like, bringing heaven
to Earth, rather than leaving Earth for heaven, bringing heaven on down to Earth, so that, like, this can be your home. Like, you can have roots here, and most of you already have really deep roots here. And if you feel like an alien and a newbie, well, welcome to the party, folks! We're here to have a great time, I'm a newbie too! But, I have some not-so-newbie things to share with you, because I've been here for, like, 32 years, and I've been diligently at work since I got here. You know, your first chakra is your root chakra, your base chakra. And it's about staying grounded. It's about, you know, taking... And this card is talking to us about bringing the spiritual into the material. And this is what I teach. You know, like, this is why I, like, show off my nice shit. Because it's a, like, it's showing you that I have manifested what is spiritual into the physical. And that is what I teach. Like, a lot of spirituality teaches you to leave, because this is not a nice place. But the spirituality that God has given to me to share with you and with the world is about staying here and enjoying Earth. Like, bringing heaven to Earth, rather than leaving Earth for heaven, bringing heaven on down to Earth, so that, like, this can be your home. Like, you can have roots here, and most of you already have really deep roots here. And if you feel like an alien and a newbie, well, welcome to the party, folks! We're here to have a great time. I'm a newbie, too. But I have some not-so-newbie things to share with you, because I've been here for, like, 32 years, and I've been diligently at work since I got here.
Back to the weirdly sexy or whatever. Megan wasn't discouraged by Jeff's unfiltered comment. One of her first private messages to Jeff, they later claimed, was, "You horny?" Romantic. Megan offered to do a psychic card reading for him. He said, "I was a sucker for psychic card readings." What are the chances? And it was the most accurate reading that he had ever received. He said, "She was the clearest psychic I ever talked to." And the two carried on a long-distance relationship for months. Megan was practicing under a spiritual teacher at the time named Altona Lampe, according to Vice. From the article, it says, Altona taught Shalia how to retrieve a spiritual name through the practice of conscious journeying. So Megan, ever since then, has gone by the name Shalia. That is what they refer to her as. That's her social media name. That's just what she goes by now, Shalia. Yeah.
So that Altona Lampe spiritual teacher told her that's what her name should be, and that's what it is now.
So Altona also taught Shalia the mirror exercise, which became a central Twin Flames universe practice. They talk about this all the time in the documentary. They use it as, like, an excuse for everything. Not really an excuse, I guess, like a solution for everything. So the exercise involves identifying an upset. So you write it down, and then you change all the names and pronouns to point to yourself. So my twin is ignoring me becomes I am ignoring me. And once you see your own role in a situation, the exercise calls for self-love to heal it.
Are you upset or something bothering you? Do the mirror exercise. Learn in this short video how to heal your upsets by loving yourself, using the mirror exercise taught by Jeff and Shalia. It teaches you how to love yourself from within and take your power back from anything outside of you that is making you unhappy. In this example, we see how Susie heals herself from feeling rejected. Step 1. Identify the upset. I am upset at Bob because he is rejecting me. Step 2. Change all of the nouns and pronouns to point to yourself. I am upset at myself because I am rejecting myself. Step 3. Is this true? Hint, the answer is always yes. Yes, I reject myself because I always tell myself I don't deserve love. I am doing this to myself, what Bob does to me.
I mean, when I first heard it explained, I thought right off the bat that was really problematic, because it seems like you're just blaming yourself for any problems there are.
And I do feel like that's
not always your fault.
An ongoing theme for them, which we'll talk about when people's experiences, but they're basically like, whatever is shit in your life, you've caused it because you haven't worked hard enough.
Yeah, and that's the key to a lot of cults or groups like this. They act like you you're never working hard enough to fix your problems.
You're scum of the earth. That's how you're spoken to in coaching.
And like, you could also see they would take out their frustrations on each other.
Shalia was like, that needy, we're needy. I'm like, no.
I didn't mean like in a codependent
hush.
Fine.
Let the man speak.
All right.
We're doing it even now.
I guess like
stop talking, please. Let me make my point, thank you. You're uncomfortable. Sit with it. I'm not being rude. I'm not being controlling or domineering. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not being a dick. This is what discipline looks like.
If you had a problem or called him out on his insults, you're ultimately calling yourself out and you would need to mirror it.
By that point, we were all mirroring everything all the time. I kind of had us stuck in this loop of like, even if we did wake up feeling good and we were in a good mood, something was wrong. That was how they made their money. I mean, if you weren't upset, then you had nothing to work on, so.
Does it feel good to push yourself to go faster?
Not really.
No? You're just being a whiny little bitch.
I remember after our mandatory coaching meeting, I questioned Jeff as to why we had a first place, second place, third, fourth, and fifth place of coaching. And his reply to that was, how dare you question your God, you dirty little filthy rat.
So the couple met for the first time in 2014. Jeff joined Shalia in Arizona at first, and then the two moved to Hawaii and started a blog called Awakened Intimacy. They started making YouTube videos together in 2014. And by November 2023, their channel had 18,000 subscribers and their Facebook group had 14,000 members.
I've got their social media up. Do you want me to talk about it quickly?
Yeah.
I do find it interesting because 2023, their YouTube at 18,000. Now they've only got 19,000. I feel like that's a slow growth for someone who's got a Netflix documentary about them.
Well, because they don't want to follow them after you watch it.
Yeah. It goes in. This is what – I'll just read a little bit of their bio from the YouTube. It says, the Twin Flames Universe YouTube channel represents the collective divine life force that courses through the Twin Flame Ascension School and Life Purpose Class community. As created and loved immensely by our beloved spiritual teachers and twin flames, Jeff and Shalia. The contributors on this channel are not paid in any way and desire so deeply to share themselves, their love, their gifts, and Jeff and Shalia's work with you. Enjoy the time, love, and healing that is freely given here. So that's their YouTube. Their Instagram is Twin Flames Universe. They've got nearly 40,000 followers. Shalia has her Instagram is Shalia Divine. Her bio says, illuminating the path home to eternal love. She's got 3,900 followers. Jeff has the same amount of followers. His handle is Jeff Loves Shalia. And his bio says, twin flame, spiritual guru, spiritual revolutionary. This is my happily ever after falling in love for the last time. So, I've linked it all in the blog anyway, if you want to check out their social media. But
all of the YouTube videos, and they do a lot of like Zoom call type things. It reminds me of Love Has Won because that was their big thing as well.
Yeah, and I have seen it in a lot of articles. They do kind of compare it to Teal Swan and Love Has... Oh, no, Love Has One is the other one, isn't it? That's the one where she drank the silver. But I have also seen them compare it to Teal Swan, which is another episode.
Yeah, she was a big YouTuber too.
Yeah.
I saw... I'll find the comment later because I saved it. But I also saw people comparing it to Ruby Frankie. Okay, so let's get into what is Twin Flames and all that. So they started Twin Flames Universe in 2017. If you're not familiar with what Twin Flames are, it's a term that was first used by English novelist Marie Corelli in her 1886 novel, A Romance of Two Worlds. The term's been used to describe two people who are equals and whose purpose is to push the other in their journey of self-discovery. Much like the idea of soulmates, one has no control over who one's twin flame is, and usually the twin flame reflects one's own personality. The infatuation with twin flames has led to some unhealthy and problematic behaviors, because I don't know, whenever I've heard of twin flames or anything I've heard about it prior to this, it seemed like they could be relatively toxic, or it's an excuse for people who have toxic relationships
exactly
to go with
like
twin flames.
Machine Gun Kelly and Megan. Like, yeah, like they are what it is personified, like obsessed with each other. Just, yeah.
Like when you confuse toxicity for passion, they're like, we're so passionate that we just fight so much, but we make up and we fight and we make up.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're twin flames. Like, it's not our choice. We're soulmates. Or whatever. The couple offered the Twin Flame Ascension course, which was a paid online course. Vanity Fair journalist Alice Hines described the classes as a therapeutic spiritual reality show. In 2020, the course cost $4,444. So in the Netflix documentary, it's really interesting. They show a lot of stuff from these courses and calls and whatever you want to call them, because one of the girls who left, she at one point was a higher up kind of person, and she was given this hard drive with everything on it, like all the classes that were recorded, all the even just like secret meetings that she wasn't really privy to know about, just like all this information on a hard drive she was given when she was more involved, and she still has it. So I guess she gave it to Netflix. So it shows a lot of these courses and videos and stuff. And you can really see just how, what a raging narcissist Jeff is. So in 2019, the couple founded the Church of Union. The aim of the church was to unify all religion under one spiritual umbrella. Within the church, Jeff is the Father Christ and Shalia is the Mother Christ, and their daughter is the Princess of all creation. They didn't have a daughter yet, but eventually they do. Together, they are the Master Christ, eternal ruler of all creation by God's living hand.
Hi, I'm Jeff. Today we're going to talk about, has Christ come again? He's got the beard and the hair and, you know, blue eyes, but I'm suggesting that... could I be the Christ? Let's have a little discussion about this. Let's find out. What is it that makes Christ? What would happen if Christ came again? And more interestingly, what if I am the Christ? Don't you, when you think about Christ coming again, you think about Jesus coming again, but it doesn't really talk about necessarily Jesus coming again. It talks about... this man on a white, Revelation talks about this, right? This man on a white horse, flanked by a bunch of people, and on his coat is, it says King of Kings. Who is that man? Who is that person? Who is that being? Turn off the fire, it's kind of hot. Whew. So the other question, who's the Antichrist? Let's have a little spiritual discussion today. Let's talk about it. I know I've heard it before, that people say, oh, well, Jeff, like, you calling yourself the Christ or the Master Christ, like, that's really arrogant. Like, that's really self-aggrandizing. Well, you gotta understand where I'm coming from. And it's not to try to convince you, and I'm not entitling myself. Why would Christ be so casual? Isn't he supposed to come in some robes and some horse and kill a bunch of people with a sword or something and slay the devil and... descend from the clouds and, you know, like, wouldn't that freak you out, though? Like, let's imagine I'm Christ. I come down off some clouds and I'm like, I am so fucking holy. And then there's news cameras everywhere and it looks like an alien invasion or something. The clouds part and there's this golden ray. But first of all, where would I descend from? Would I, like, drop off in Africa or, you know, what about Jerusalem? Like, that's the spot.
They also run the Mind Alignment Process, an online service that claims to treat PTSD. In some of the footage that's from that hard drive, there's literally, I don't know if they were in the courses because you never know exactly what clip you're seeing, what it's from, but he blatantly talks about how he doesn't want to pay taxes. He doesn't want to pay the people who, quote unquote, work for them. So he's going to turn this into half religion because religious institutions don't have to pay taxes. So then he starts comparing himself to Jesus a lot, saying that like he is Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. And so he grows out his beard and makes his hair longer. And he does like have, you know, the stereotypical Jesus look to him, but he literally starts side by side photoing himself with Jesus.
It is very lovers one, because remember she called herself Mother God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Mind Alignment Process, it was just like another money scam. And he talks about this so this is what I think is like the secret videos that weren't really out in the public. I don't know why he's recording this, but he's talking about how they need to get the mind alignment process into the military for people in the military with PTSD, because then he would be rich as fuck, basically. With him, it's all about money. The alignment process, it was just more bullshit to be like, oh, like you're having a hard time, or whenever anyone would come to kind of criticize them or criticize what was going on, they'd be like, oh, you need to, you know, use the you need to do more of the mirror exercise, or you need to have a session with one of the mind alignment process people, where basically they would tell you that you had childhood traumas and stuff that you didn't have, and they would just make stuff up, and they'd be like, you as a child were sexually abused is what I'm getting, and the person would be like, no, I wasn't, and they'd be like, no, you were.
You still
and they'd be like, no, I wasn't. So it's just all really shady.
So when we do a mind alignment process, it's very powerful because we go to the root of the trauma and we pull it out.
Chrissy K did one or two sessions on me.
Once you close your eyes, I just want you to walk through the memory again. And what's going to happen is I'm going to freeze it and we're gonna clear it, okay?
In this like meditative state, things are kind of suggestible.
Now we'll go back to where you can go, to the root of it, and heal. And as we do that, the layers start coming off.
She suggested there was sexual trauma that happened when I was like a kid. To my best belief, I don't think I've ever actually had anything like that in my childhood. It was like a memory that was sort of planted inside of me. The MAP process started the whole like process of not really wanting to be around my family and feeling like they were out to hurt me.
What are our people suffering from?
All right, so most people, their traumas were related to family relationships.
Many groups do this kind of introspective exercise, which they say is there to help you, but it's actually there to tear apart the self.
So childhood trauma.
Right.
It's also a way to separate them from their families, which is one of the goals of most cultic organizations, is they want to isolate you with just their little world.
So the couple in the past had also claimed the ability to cure cancer and other medical conditions with a form of spiritual therapy for a price, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All these people can cure cancer, but here's a bunch of people still with cancer in the world.
And even with Amy Carlson, the Lovers 1-1, she died very young from medical conditions. But
so Twin Flame Universe teaches that every individual has a twin flame. And this is kind of what it all comes down to. This was their big thing, which is an intense variation of a soulmate, like we were saying. Jeff and Shalia, they would try to help people basically find their twin flames.
This next Lene lady is an example, because she meets someone at the gym and they basically say, that is your twin flame. Even though he's married, you need to go after him.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stories like that in the documentary. So basically, they would just tell people in the group that paid for these sessions. They also had like a big Facebook group, that they would be able to confirm who their twin flame is. Jeff and Shalia, they had some sort of power and they could be like, oh, yes, that person's your twin flame. I knew it. So like, for example, one girl that was in the documentary, she was hung up on her ex, like she was going through a hard breakup, which is kind of how she found herself in the situation. And they're telling her, they're like, oh, your ex, he's your twin flame. Like, he just doesn't know it. So you need to keep pursuing him regardless of what he tells you. And the ex, of course, would be like, leave me alone. Don't speak to me. You're crazy. Don't talk to me. And she'd keep messaging them and they'd say things like, there's no such thing as boundaries. You need to see this through. You need to work harder. Like, that's your twin flame. You need to go after it. You're not trying hard enough. So in this one situation, the guy ends up getting a restraining order against her. And she tells Jeff and Shalia this. And they're like, a restraining order isn't real. Like, okay, that's just another boundary. And they say stuff like, we're honey badgers of love, because honey badgers don't give a fuck. So we're honey badgers of love. So ignore that restraining order, girl, and go get your twin flame. And if you don't do it, like if you don't try hard enough, this is like the cult mentality aspect. They like publicly shame you in front of everybody in this group that they're so desperate to be a part of, to be accepted by. And then they shame you. So then this girl gets arrested for violating the restraining order. And there's a bunch of situations like that. Another one, Vice interviewed a woman named Lene Burchell, who was a Twin Flame University devotee for a time. She joined in 2019. She was 30 years old at the time. She purchased tickets for a 2-day Ascension workshop, which was held in Canada in July 2019. And marketing materials for the event promised participants would experience heaven on earth. So Lene, at the time, she was excited to meet Jeff and Shalia. So Lene said that she spent as much as 30 hours per week on Twin Flame Universe. She worked to keep up with the coursework. She built lists of potential new students, made sales calls. She did all the work for no compensation. So Jeff then also, when he started having some success with this, basically turned into like an MLM.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it sounds like an MLM.
So some people who had like success stories or were doing a good job, they'd be promoted to coaches. And then their job was to coach the newer people or try to get the newer people to spend more money and keep tabs on the newer members, essentially. Lene said that she grew obsessed with attracting her suggested twin flame. And they were telling her that her twin flame was a married man that she had met at the gym. And after repeated spiritual exercises that seemed to encourage fixation, she said she showed up at his work uninvited to prove her alignment with love and God. Lene said that she was told that any rejection by the man was a result of her own failure to do the spiritual work. So it's kind of like what I was saying before with the, like the mirror exercise and everything. Like it's all your fault that doesn't work out. So essentially, Jeff and Shalia, whatever her name is, can assign you some random person. And if that person that you now are forced to stalk is interested in you, it's your fault. And you're going to be like shamed for it. So Lene said, I was a crazy person to him. He would tell me things like, I don't want to see you. We'll never be together. Normal Lene would be like, yeah, I'm going to respect this person's boundaries. So a week before Lene was due to attend the course in Toronto, she decided to leave and disconnect from Twin Flames Universe. And that came after a fight with her family. There was another story that was crazy about this one girl who was doing it. Her sister was in it. So then she started being in Twin Flames University. She was only 19 years old. And I guess she got some messages from this guy on Facebook or whatever. He was trying to flirt with her. He sent her like a song and he was part of the Twin Flame Universe Facebook group. So I'm assuming this guy must have said something to Jeff or something, because in a big meeting with, you know, in front of everyone, he starts asking her about it. Jeff asks her about it. And she starts like crying, and you can tell she's really nervous because I feel like she sees where it's going. He's like, oh, so this so-and-so Joshua was messaging you. What'd he say? And oh, he sent you this song. Can you read us the lyrics to the song? So they make her pull up this song, read the lyrics, and it's about love. I think her name was Marley. Her name was Marley. Like, Marley, Joshua's your twin flame. And she's like pretending to be happy, but also crying. And she's interviewed in the documentary, and she's like, I was so scared. I didn't not like this guy. I thought he was really creepy and weird. The guy was 11 years older than her. He was on probation. He had drug charges. He was a drug addict. So he couldn't leave the state to come visit her. He lived in Utah. I don't remember exactly where she lived. So then Jeff and Shalia tell her that she has to go move in with him so they could be together because he can't leave the state. So 19-year-old Marley is like, okay. So she goes and moves in with this guy who she doesn't even know, is kind of afraid of, because he's allegedly her twin flame. They're allegedly soulmates. And it's going to work out as long as she puts in this hard soul searching work. So then turns out Joshua has also like schizoaffective disorder, untreated, and is abusive to her. And she tries to seek guidance from Jeff and Shalia on this, saying that, what are their thoughts on mental illness? Like, how can I help with this? And again, they tell her that he's having these episodes because she's not creating like a happy, welcoming environment for him. And again, that it's her fault.
So crazy.
It's just like sickening what they did to people.
So other former students have all also spoken and said that they were gaslit and they were manipulated into volunteering hundreds of hours of free labor. They said they were exploited for thousands of dollars and they were also discouraged from seeking professional mental health care. Many of them also say they were cut off from their families and that parents have said their kids are pressured to cut off all family contact unless they're given money. A woman named Louise Cole spoke about her daughter's involvement with Twin Flames. She thought her daughter was taking classes online on Chinese medicine, but she was actually giving money to Twin Flames. Louise said, "I didn't connect all the dots. She'd always been responsible, level-headed, and smart with money." Louise has said that she put as much as $5,000 towards Twin Flames-related travel, classes, and accommodation before her daughter cut off the whole family.
Another thing they would say just about to isolate these people from their families, because that's one of the number one things cults do, so that you only rely on them. They would say they just made up terms all the time. So there was your soul family, and that's your only family, which basically was them and the people in Twin Flames universe. That was your soul family, and your actual family wasn't your family. So the only family you were allowed to care about was your soul family. So again, just like encouraging them to be isolated from their family, of the people who are going to be like, hello, come to your senses.
Some other students also faced arrest and involuntary psychiatric treatment because of their involvement with Twin Flames universe. Like, obviously, it's just crazy. They were encouraged to do things that were often illegal and unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Twin Flame students paid $2,222 for unlimited access to relationship videos, $1,899 for unlimited life purpose videos, and about $200 per session for one-on-one work with a coach. If members sold a lifetime membership, which was worth $2,222, they were eligible for a 10% commission, which is a milestone that Lene, who we mentioned earlier, never reached in 6 months of work. So she didn't even get $222 back. Another ex-student said that she quit her job at a top medical school to do social media, coaching, and outreach for the group. And people who resisted undertaking coaching have said they were belittled and shamed. Jeff apparently wrote this Facebook post in 2019. It says, "Welcome to the real world, folks, where scumbags will rape you until you die." So basically that blamed people for not selling enough courses. There was a quote that says, "Jeff was not being a mean old ass. He was showing you reality, a reality you absolutely refused to see, even when it had been happening to you for weeks while you watched all that you love choke and die." It's a very aggressive statement made by them.
He's unhinged. I'll try to get some of the clips. They're hard to find because they have so many videos of just nonsense. The same with Love is One, but I'll see if I can just get some of the clips off of Netflix. But there's one where he's like asking the girl about something that, again, wasn't her fault, and they put her in a shitty situation, and she said something and he didn't agree with it. So he just yells out, he's like, "Liar!" and he's like, "Oh, sorry, my liar alarm's going off." Like, he's just an unhinged lunatic.
Another Twin Flames universe ex-devotee, I guess, called Jessie Hersey has spoken a lot online. She said that Twin Flames told her to let go of her old self and that at one point she was spending 10 hours a day consuming content. They coached her to move across the country to be close to her twin flame, and she did so in 2018. By 2020, it was kind of peak COVID time, lots of loneliness, and at that point, Jessie was assigned a new gender identity by Twin Flames. Mm-hmm. They told her that she was the divine masculine half of a relationship that had been chosen by God. Jessie has said that she was shocked because she lived for 30 years as a comfortably cis woman, and she said, "I never had gender dysphoria. I know the signs and symptoms. I've literally lived with someone who transitioned." So they are basically telling her that she needs to transition to a different gender based on her twin flame.
This came to be because some people, you know, after a while weren't finding their twin flames, which was like guaranteed by Jeff and Shalia. If, you know, you joined, you did their courses, you were guaranteed to find your twin flame. So after months and months or however long, some people started being like, okay, what the heck? Like, where's my twin flame? This isn't working out. So then Jeff and Shalia were like, okay, there's something called, what do they call it? The false twin flame experience, where you think you found your twin flame, but you actually didn't. It was just like fake, which is confusing because earlier on they confirmed that they had a special power to confirm who your twin flame was. So I don't know how, I guess they were wrong, but blaming it on them instead. So then basically they were like going to reevaluate the twin flames after this false twin flame experience. And now instead of twin flames being allowed to be found from outside of the group out in the real world, they were like, no, your twin flame is within the members of the Facebook group or our followers only. So the problem with that was there was more women than men. So then they came up with this. They're such con artists that every person is either divine female or divine male. So you can be a girl, but inside you're divine male. In every relationship, there's one divine female and one divine male, even if they're two girls or two guys. It usually ended up being two girls. They released this list on Facebook of like 20 new twin flame pairings, and people are like paired up with girls that they're like friends with, and they're like, what? Like, this doesn't make sense. I'm not a lesbian. I'm not interested in women. So then they would try to be like, but you're divine masculine. So, and then the women who were divine masculine, they would encourage to change their names, change the way they dressed, use male pronouns, and to do things like that. And some people went along with it because they were just like so lost and confused at that point that they didn't know what to do. And there are people from this group who literally transitioned and would have like double mastectomies, would have top surgery, would actually transition. And I mean, maybe there's a chance they really were trans, but at the same time, maybe they're not.
And they just were, because they just believed so much in what they were being taught that they went along with it.
Yeah. And I think with a lot of cults, these people are so desperate to be part of a group or to have explanations for why they're not happy in life. So I think sometimes maybe they think, oh, if I do this, I'll be happy, which is sad because Jeff and Shalia are just preying on them to such an extreme level. Like one thing, I'm just looking at my notes from this. They had a couple that was two women, because one was divine masculine, one was divine feminine or whatever. And they also heavily encouraged their quote unquote success stories to make tons of like YouTube videos about how happy they were, tons of Facebook posts about how happy they were to encourage other people to, you know, keep searching for their twin flame because they too could have this amazing relationship. So a lot of times, even if the couples weren't totally happy, they were still putting on a show because they were also afraid of getting in trouble. But there was one couple where Jeff and Shalia were talking to them. There are two women. And Jeff, of course, loved talking about sex. He was like, but how can you guys be sexually satisfied as two women? And he says it's because the one girl, since she's divine masculine, she has a spirit penis.
Oh my God.
Like, he literally said the word spirit penis. And they were like, ha, ha, yeah.
Yeah, sure, that's it.
And just other things that he said about sex, he would say basically that the men need to have sex every day. When a man wants sex, the woman has to give it to him. And if there's problems there, then that means that they're not twin flames. So some of the girls were saying, like, that they were pressured into having sex all the time by their partners because Jeff was like, well, if we're twin flames, you should be having sex every day, and the men get sex whenever they want. So it's just like a nightmare in so many ways.
So Jesse tried to make money as a coach for twin flames, but it actually cost her money. She had to buy the newest courses and products, and she had to pay a monthly coach license fee. At the same time, Jeff was posting on YouTube, driving luxury sports cars, wearing designer clothes. He told his followers that these rewards came because of his relationship with God. And he said that if people like Jesse were not reaping the rewards, it was because they weren't doing the spiritual work. He said they were choosing separation from God and the group. Jesse made a Facebook Live in 2019 where she spoke about how all her funds were on hold. After that, Jeff and Shalia banned her from talking about her financial issues. They said that she was choosing poverty consciousness and that she was contaminating group meetings by talking about her issues. Jesse said, I was lying my butt off saying I have a great job where I make great money, even though I didn't. She ended up having to declare bankruptcy to get out of the financial hole that Twin Flames had left her in. In April 2019, a Twin Flames student took their own life. Messages about the situation were viewed by the media. One member of the Twin Flames, quote, executive board said the woman had declined one-on-one mind alignment therapy sessions with Jeff shortly before her suicide. In the chat, group members offered to support each other but decided not to recognize or remember the student in the larger Facebook group. So kind of swept it under the rug a little bit.
They literally said, like, because she made a post about being depressed and kind of asking for help. So people responded and she ended up killing herself. And of course, Jeff's like, it's because she didn't do the work. She didn't put in the work. She didn't do the mirror exercise. It's like, what the fuck?
Another ex-member said she joined Twin Flames in the aftermath of a serious health scare and a breakup with an abusive partner. She told Vice that she'd been coached to ignore rejection and escalate contact with her so-called twin flames. This might be the one that you were speaking about.
Oh, yeah.
Even after he filed a restraining order, she says that the group encouraged her to violate the court order, which resulted in an arrest for her.
She was in jail for like a month because she isolated herself from her family so much that she didn't want to call them. And the only other person's number she knew was her ex from jail.
So Twin Flames have threatened media agencies such as Vice in the past. Vice have a whole bunch of information on this, a whole lot of different articles, and this is an excerpt from the 2023 Vice article. It says, in the wake of my – so this is obviously the author writing this. It says, in the wake of my first story, Twin Flames Universe sent strongly worded letters to anyone suspected of cooperating with my reporting. They accused them of lying and bullying. They said, you will write a complete and effective collective retraction and apologize for the lies you told about us. The letters went on to describe life-ruining consequences if the former students chose not to retract their stories. The author wrote a follow-up about the letters, which threatened imminent lawsuits, police investigations, bankruptcy, jail time, and the publication of very revealing and very uncomfortable information. That's all in caps, the very. So they're insinuating that they have dirt on people, essentially.
Blackmailing.
Yeah. In June 2020, Jeff and Shalia filed lawsuits against 7 former members and 1 parent. Legal proceedings went on for almost a year until a judge ruled in March 2021 that the Michigan courts were not the proper jurisdiction for the proceedings. The judge noted the apparent bad faith behind the legal action and declined to transfer it to a different court. One parent attempted to get the courts to sanction Jeff and Shalia so they couldn't file another action, but the judge declined to do so.
The parent, she's in the documentary a lot, 'cause it kind of starts out with their story of the mom and her other daughter trying to get back in touch with the daughter who is with Twin Flames Universe. But she said because of this lawsuit, which she didn't really do anything. She was speaking out about how, you know, this is a cult and people should be aware. Even with it being thrown out, she still had to pay in fees and getting attorneys like $30,000.
So I did, there's a lot of, obviously Reddit is a good place for discussion on topics like this. I found this comment on there and I just wanted to share it. It's from someone who was part of the community. It says, this comment is based on my experiences with Jeff and Shalia after spending nearly a year in the community. The purpose of this thread is for survivors to share their stories, support each other, and warn others about the abuses going on within the Twin Flames Universe community. I have seen them belittle and name call students who disagree with their teachings. This is justified as meeting the students where they live, i.e. in hell, to help them grow. The offences which warrant this behaviour can range from a student spreading negativity, which is warranted, to a student claiming to know a twin flame couple in a harmonious union outside of the community, which is unwarranted. I have seen them direct students to write 5-star reviews for their book on Amazon and nearly kick out a student who mistakenly left a 4-star review. I have seen them tell students what their true gender identity is and then kick them out when they failed to conform, example, change their name, their pronouns, or their appearance. This is because they teach that all twin flame couples are a masculine and a feminine counterpart and are best glorified in male and female bodies. I have seen students kicked out, shunned, or voluntarily leave because they refuse to change to fit Jeff and Shalia's template. I have seen them tell students not to take outside job offers, apply to undergraduate or graduate school. When students ask why, they are generally told it's not what they truly desire and that they should proceed with outside education or career opportunities, that they will be learning the hard way to truly appreciate what they have in the community. 2 of their students have had restraining orders filed against them by their twin flames. 1 has been to jail, which we mentioned earlier. Then it goes on to say, notably, they have announced they are the second coming of the Christ and the King and Queen of creation. They have also announced plans to open a commune in Michigan. And just to break away from this for a minute, someone actually sent us a message on Instagram saying that they live in their town and they have been trying to buy land, I guess, to do a commune. So that seems to be true.
They talked about that a little on the Netflix documentary. They said, the one girl said before she left, he was looking into a property of buying like a 300-person event space that they were then all supposed to go live at. And this is when it gets really like Jonestown. They were all supposed to go live at this commune then, and they were all going to start having babies. Then the babies were going to be called like golden babies, and only Jeff and Shalia could decide what couples could have babies together, kind of based on how much money they brought in or something.
Wow.
And that if, you know, some people can't have babies with their partner because they're both genetically female or for whatever reasons, Jeff and Shalia would then assign who, what other person they would have babies with to just produce all these children, which that's when it's in the documentary. It's like, this is literally how Jonestown happened.
Yeah. So back to the comment. It says, Jeff has said in the past, the image of Christ was actually me, the second coming, not Jesus, the first coming. Finally, it has come to light that the healing method they have claimed to have invented, which they call the mind alignment process, was created by Teal Swan, which I can't believe that someone equally as crazy created their, you know, their information. And yeah. So she calls it the completion process, and she published it in August 2016. In the fall of 2016, Jeff and Shalia announced that Teal Swan is a false spiritual teacher who is leading people to hell, and her works are not allowed in their community.
Mm.
There's some quotes online from a cult expert and professor at California State University, Jana Lalich. She told Vice that Twin Flames Universe fits into a constellation of self-help and wellness cults that basically sell sweeping answers to life's biggest problems and disguise thought reform and manipulation practices therapy. She said it's part of this whole movement, part of this kind of fix-it-quick culture that we have in America. As we mentioned earlier, she said that family separation is a common tactic used in cults. She said it keeps the person isolated. It keeps them from having outside sources that can give them feedback and raise questions. Jeff and Shalia have told the media that they've never pressured anyone to do anything and that all their members are adults. They've also denied multiple times that they are running a cult. Jeff told Vice, a cult is an organization of abuse that systematically takes from and harms its members to enrich its founder. We created an organization of love and harmony which heals and enriches everyone in it and anyone who is connected to anyone in it. So I find that interesting.
It's funny because actually one of when things are getting like much more extreme and the NXIVM stuff came out and there was The Vow and there's another movie or documentary about it. They said that Jeff made them all watch The Vow and the other documentary about Keith Raniere and NXIVM. And then each had to write an essay about why Jeff was not a cult leader. And that was actually when a lot of them started being like, wait a minute, this seems very similar.
So Jeff has acknowledged that he and Shalia have referred to themselves as the Master Christ, eternal ruler of all creation by God's loving hand, but they believe everyone else is also Christ. He said to call someone Christ is to reference their natural and harmonious relationship with the divine creator. Jeff has also spoken about the legal proceedings against them. He said, we have heard of some people contacting police and threatening to pursue legal action, but nothing ever transpired because we are doing nothing even remotely illegal. We are aware of what is right and wrong, and we consciously and diligently ensure that everything we do is legal and moral. So they do seem to be doing pretty well. They're apparently going to buy this commune. They've been seen driving Corvettes and Porsches. Jeff has spoken about his success. He said, Shalia and I have become wealthy from sharing the blessing of our work with the world. This is the American dream to come from nothing and make something of yourself. What we do has never been driven by money, but a desire to heal suffering of the world.
Okay.
It's
like they're creating the suffering and then selling the snake oil to fix the said suffering.
Yeah. So after the Netflix documentary, there was a bit of heat on the organization. There's this statement from the Instagram. I'll just read it quickly. That says, we appreciate the opportunity to address several concerns raised in recent headlines and documentary productions about our community. Our primary objective continues to be the development of a community that is both diverse and inclusive, joined together by common values, principles, and goals. Those who enter our community and become students are treated with love, acceptance, and support. This will never change, and we continue to love those who have moved on and wish only the best for those who ultimately decide to follow their journey elsewhere. Our organization is staffed by a multidisciplinary team of experts, including PhD researchers and educators from around the globe, all coming together with unique experiences and backgrounds. Each of us has dedicated ourselves wholly to ethical conduct and the welfare of our community. So honestly, then, so this goes on, there's five slides on Instagram about it. It basically goes on to that they're not doing anything illegal. It finishes with Twin Flames Universe will continue to foster an atmosphere of open discussion. We welcome constructive feedback as these are crucial for mutual growth and understanding. Our unwavering commitment is to maintain a secure, respectful and uplifting space for anyone who wishes to join or engage within our community. So even though they welcome constructive feedback, comments are off on that post.
Yeah. And if you give constructive feedback, they'll tell you need to do the mirror exercise, because that's what they'd say. They'd be like, it seems like you're having like a blockage right now that you need to heal anytime anyone brought up something.
Because they've listed maybe, I guess, 20 hashtags. Like, it's I Stand for Twin Flames, Jeff and Shalia. One of them is mirror exercise.
Oh my God. Yeah. Another thing that I actually gasped over in the documentary, because it was just so ridiculous and shows that it's all just a money grab for Jeff. And I guess Shalia always kind of looks fearful in the videos. It gives like a blink twice if you need help vibe. But so I don't really know about her. But they made a meal plan also called the Divine Dish. And it was $100 a month just for the recipes. You didn't get the ingredients or anything, just the recipes. And it was basically all carbs and heavy food, because the heavy food was supposed to make you feel more grounded. And that's what they told the girl, the 19-year-old girl that was in the abusive relationship that they shipped her off to Utah or whatever. They're like, if you guys eat some more heavy foods, grounding foods, this will be better. Like, what?
Oh, my God.
Like a meal plan. They have a fucking meal plan.
There is another post that I screenshotted just on their Instagram, and they've written, every person who views and reacts to this post will manifest twin flame love this week. Affirm yes. And then all these people are just writing yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that was another thing. They would do some sort of ritual for someone, and they're like, okay, now we did this ritual. You're going to find your twin love in like a couple days. So then like in a couple days they'd refollow up with that person and be like, oh, did anyone like stand out to you? And I'll be like, oh, well, there was like this barista at Starbucks that was like cute, like we laughed together a little, and they're like, that's your twin flame, that's it. That's them. There's one comment I found online that I thought was well said. It's from Spiritual Bread on Reddit, her username. And it was just the post was just asking like about the documentary and all that. And this person wrote, it's interesting. Saw both the Amazon and Netflix documentaries, listened to the Wondery podcast about it. The thing that's new about this cult, in my opinion, is the gender bending aspect. I think Jeff buys his own nonsense. The guy was claiming he could spiritually cure cancer. Shalia seemed a bit more grounded and spiritual, although I believe both are abusive to members. Cults have been bringing people in the same way since the beginning of time. We have what you need. Innocent enough until you have to pay for it, whether monetarily or by giving your time. This particular structure closely resembles a shape with four sides and a pointy top, if you get my drift, or an MLM at best. Add in the classical control features, isolation, fear of losing their group identity / status, loss of income, self-doubt, and voila, we have a cult. I saw the shift from a quirky life coaching system to potentially dangerous cult when they began pairing themselves off. Prior to that, a lot could be explained away as a more spiritual self-improvement kind of class. Yes, the aggressive stalking your other is bizarre, but they are adults and can deal with the consequences of their own actions. But when Jeff especially kept pushing boundaries, making guarantees about results, and then in parentheses says, come on, nobody can guarantee happiness like that, and getting negative results, they had to pivot quickly, and I said, nope. Now, Jeff is Jesus. They can assign your flame. Things aren't working because you aren't aggressive enough or spending enough money / time. And also, you're quite possibly the wrong gender, because Jesus needs heterosexual present couples. Oh, and if you haven't identified your past trauma, let's mix them up, because of course you need more self-improvement that only we can provide. Creating this dependency is dangerous, especially to vulnerable and lonely people. Drawing the line at encouraging love and fulfillment doesn't pay the bills. I see interesting parallels between mirroring and some shame / blame principles in the Ruby Frankie Jody Hildebrand Connections group. taking responsibility for one's actions, parentheses, and even reactions to an extent, is healthy, but when you start convincing someone absolutely everything that happens to them is their fault, you're breeding deep insecurity and dependency. Now the victim relies on the leader to tell them what to believe, and they start getting brainwashed. I have the most sympathy for the families, especially the mothers, that have lost their children to these high-demand groups. It does seem like a lot in this group don't believe or are resistant to the leader's attempts to convince them their flames have been assigned. And that gives me hope that they can call BS and walk away if they haven't sunk too much of themselves into the group already. That was also interesting part of the documentary. It was sad. It like brought a tear to my eye a few times because there's a big part that's about the mothers who lost their kids basically to this group, and the parents have been villainized by Jeff and Shalia, and they haven't heard from their kids in years, some of them. And one of the kids like reached out and was saying that they need help, like while they were filming the documentary, and she just started crying, and she was like, well, I haven't had a text from him for 3 years. And she's like, I'm so scared, I don't know what to say, I don't want to push them away again. It was really sad.
And it's just sad that these people prey on vulnerable, lonely people who are just looking for love, essentially, love and acceptance.
And the people who were finally able to kind of like wake up and be like, this is going too far, is the first people they reached out to were their families. So not everyone has that, where even if they isolate themselves from their families, like, you know, your family's still going to be there. Like, not everyone has family like that or has a good family. And sometimes that's how they wind up in these situations. So then, after you invest so much time and money and so much of your life into this, just leaving with no support and like basically, quote, like throwing that all away, like, and accepting that you wasted all of this time is probably such a scary thing to have to face on your own, which is why a lot of people, I think, don't leave.
Definitely.
There's always the quote, it's no one joins a cult, like they're recruited by a systemic social influence process. So I think a lot of people are like, this would never happen to me. This is stupid. These people are stupid. How could they get into this? But it starts off really small. Again, people, it's not like we're a cult and you're joining a cult. It starts off small. You get sucked in. You start spending a little bit of money, a little bit of time, and then it turns into more and more and more and more and more. And I think it's easier. It's very hard for people to put their pride aside, especially when you're fighting with your family about this. You're fighting with random people about this, how it's not a cult, how you're doing something good. It's very hard to be like, I was wrong and I wasted all this time and I wasted all this money. And instead, a lot of them like double down in a way.
It's like I'm probably getting this wrong, but I feel like it's the frog in the boiling pot analogy. Like if you put a frog in a boiling pot, it's going to jump straight out. But if you turn the heat up slowly, it will probably boil to death because it doesn't realize.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Until it's too late. Yeah.
And another thing, one of the girls, she was like higher up and she left. After all, the gender stuff is what made a lot of people be like, this is crazy. She left, but something that she had a really hard time coping with, and I think is kind of another reason why people don't leave, was that she, as a coach, had to come to terms with the wrong things that she did to people. Even though she was being manipulated and brainwashed herself, she still, for a while, like encouraged people into these like abusive relationships or bad situations or to stalk people or to change their gender. And she said that's something that she has a lot of guilt about and she feels horrible about it. And that's why I thought it was interesting that he was having them write essays about why he, Jeff, was not a cult leader. Because in Jonestown, Jim Jones would have people write down statements with their signatures so that he could use it to blackmail them. So then it's like, if they ever tried to sue him for something, could they be like, well, you wrote this essay about how this isn't a cult and how you're happy here and I'm not a cult leader. So yeah, I think everyone thinks it won't happen to them, but it's just like the perfect storm, really, of finding the right people who are vulnerable in the right ways and exploiting that. And there's unfortunately shitty people out there that are looking to do that.
Yeah.
And like Jeff is not smart. Seeing him, I'm like, if I had no morals, this would be a great way to make money because apparently you could just be a fucking idiot and just say nonsense and then just like change your mind all the time when people start being like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. You're like, well, I'm Jesus. And they're like, oh, okay.
I'm Christ. You're Christ. We're all Christ.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating and sad that people feel so sad and desperate in their lives that this is what they end up turning to. So
yeah,
I don't know. I guess it's like a check-in on your friends if you feel like they're vulnerable to things like this, especially if you see them getting sucked into something that doesn't seem like a cult, but you never know what it will turn into. Okay, so that's really it for this episode. Like I said, the documentary I watched and recommend is called Escaping Twin Flames on Netflix. It's 3 episodes. It's really good. You get a lot of interviews and you can see a lot of Jeff and Shalia that will just enrage you. Like all day while I was watching it at work, I just kept being like, what is going on? Infuriating. But definitely recommend watching it and learning more about it. And we'll have a blog, truecrimesocietyblog.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at truecrimesociety. And you can follow our personal accounts. Mine is stephsum_. Olivia's TCS Olivia. And we are on Patreon now if you want to get some more content from us. We do all the episodes ad-free, and we also do a weekly bonus episode. So you could check us out there. And all the usual stuff. Share the podcast, leave us good reviews, good ratings, all those things. Big help to us. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Don't Stay interact with any people like Jeff and Shalia. Please. That's it. Peace out.
See ya.